love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Well, I think there is a there's a real problem with the press. They don't understand why Allah Akbar is a problem. In fact, the New York Times just tweeted, Allah Akbar somehow has become inextricably intertwined with terrorism. Somehow. Its real meaning is far more innocent. Yeah. Well, its real meaning is God is great, and I tend to agree. God is great. It's a phrase that is said by Muslims everywhere, at least five times a day during their daily prayers. I'm sure they'll say it, you know, when their football team turns a game around, God is great. Or when they see a newborn baby, Allah Akbar, God is great. They literally say it all the time. And in most cases, it's a really nice sentiment. It's a phrase that Muslims utter so often that it really is not noteworthy. Except when a radical Muslim uses it before they blow themselves up or run into a bunch of children on the street or hack somebody's head off. Remember what happened earlier this week, New York Times? The guy killed eight people in New York City and then he said, Allah Akbar! See, the problem is this isn't an isolated attack and an isolated case. The men who carried out the attack on the French newspaper Charlie Hebdo in 2015 shouted that while they were slaughtering people. And the phrase kind of cut through the air as a British soldier was run down during the military around the military barracks in 2013. And then he was hacked to death. Remember that? Allah Akbar. Yeah. Now, it is a shame that a handful of terrorists have hijacked such a profound yet simple prayer and condition us to fear those words. But I dare say if there were many Christians hacking people to death and then saying, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, you really wouldn't have a problem. You'd kind of understand why everybody would rush for the doors if somebody came in bursting into the room and saying, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. The Muslim community has come out and condemned the New York City attack, but they have to make their voice much louder. And when they do, as in the case with the imam who warned the mayor of New York City several times, hey, I can help you. Maybe you should look over here because they're training terrorists. You on the left need to listen. The God that Saipov praised, God is great, before running over 20 people, is not the God that I believe most Muslims pray to. He's certainly not the God that I pray to. Allah Akbar. Yes, God is great. But God doesn't want you to hack the heads off of people or run down children in the street. Any violence done in the name of God is nothing more than a twisted lie.
It's Friday, November 3rd. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Jesus is my Lord and Savior. See, nobody runs for anything because people aren't shooting people right after you hear those words. Oh my gosh, the press just still doesn't get it. They never will. They never, ever will. We have a whole bunch of stuff to go through today, and all of the audio and the video that has come out this week just shows me I no longer understand the world that we live in. Remember, I've said, and I remember saying this, and I remember thinking, this is a pretty bold statement. I mean, that's going to take a lot. And I remember telling you, everything you think you can trust, gone. Everything that you think you know, gone. Everything that you count on that is solid will be liquid, and everything that is liquid will be solid. And you will wake up in a day where you just don't recognize the country that you live in. Holy cow, are we there? Let's see. You know what? I want to start with Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama earlier this week said something about men, and I'm not meaning this as a joke. I will give a prize. I will, any book that I've ever written, I'll inscribe it to you if you can explain what the hell Michelle Obama is really saying here. Listen to this as she talks about defending men.
The problem in the world today is we love our boys. Okay. And we raise our girls, you know?
Okay, stop. We love our boys and we raise our girls. Okay. Well, seeing that you don't have a son, maybe in your mind you are missing something, but I raise my son and I love my son. I raise my daughters and I love my daughters.
She didn't have a son, but she did have many people who could have been her son appearance.
That's true. You're right. Mm-hmm. So we love our sons. I think what she's saying here is we just don't do anything. We don't raise our sons. We don't raise them. We raise our daughters. We just love our sons. So we just let them run wild. I think that's what she's implying, but I don't see that as reality with anyone. Next.
We raise them to be strong, and sometimes we take care not to hurt men. And I think
stop. We raise them to be strong. Yes. And we take care not to hurt them. Well, I take care not to hurt my daughters too. I mean, I don't even understand that.
Well, you didn't send your daughter to intern for Harvey Weinstein. So
true.
There is a lesson here somewhere.
Yeah, you're right. I do take care not to hurt them, so I don't let them intern for Harvey. Yeah, very good point. Okay. Right. You might get a book. All right, yes. Go ahead, next.
And I think we pay for that a little bit. Mm. And that's a we thing, because we're raising them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Huh? And wait, you said you weren't raising the boys.
Yeah, we raising them. Well, no.
You said you're just raising the girls.
Yeah, you just love your sons. All right, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And it's powerful to have strong men, but what does that strength mean? Mm-hmm. You know, does it mean respect? Does it mean responsibility? Does it mean compassion? Or are we protecting our men too much?
Okay, stop for a second.
Wait, what?
I have worked harder on my son than anything in my life. I have tried to raise a strong boy, but I have also tried to raise a respectful, decent, honorable man. I mean, I have worked hard to make sure he understands, don't you dare treat your sister that way. Don't you ever speak to my wife, your mother, ever like that. And when you finally get married, you will understand how you treat women. And if you don't, I'm going to come to your house.
I mean, I think that's part of the traditional definition of a strong man, right? I mean,
yes,
it's supposed to be respectful. It's supposed to be.
I mean, what world are you living in?
That's
where
scary.
It's really scary, where you're protect. What do you mean you're protecting them?
Like
we protect them from how?
So I mean,
you
again,
don't tell them not to behave that way.
I'm sure someone in the audience who wants to win a signed book is going to have a better idea than
this. Yeah, and by the way, it'll be worth more if I don't sign it. So
you can request that as well,
right?
The idea that the problem with our society is that we essentially coddle boys too much and we're too hard on girls? Is that a real thing?
And by the way, I think the problem with society is we're not paying attention to the boys at all. At all. We're just not paying attention to them as society. They're worthless. The boys, when's the last time you heard anyone say anything like, hey, you know what? We're having a problem with boys in school and their math and their, you know, their testing and their graduation rates. They're not doing real well. Why? Because we're focused all on the girls. I love the focus that girls can do anything, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
But where is the message that boys, you can do anything too. You count. We've just dismissed them.
And this is a smaller point, but can you imagine someone that wasn't Michelle Obama saying the problem with our society right now is we love our kids too much? I mean, that is not... she is saying that we love our boys. The fact that you love your boys is a good thing. That there's not, that's not a problem with society. Raising our girls, that's a, you're supposed to do both to both.
Yes. You're supposed to love them and raise them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there any more left of this, Sarah?
So they feel a little entitled.
The boys feel entitled. Okay, go ahead.
And a little, a little self-righteous sometimes. But that's kind of on us.
Hang on just a second.
What?
The boys feel self-righteous at times. Help me out on this. This is not a bit. I really don't know the world that she is living in. I heard this the other day, and I thought to myself, I don't even understand it. And everybody around her is going,
like a really obvious thing that everybody knows.
And I have no idea what she's even talking about.
And it may very well just be a cultural difference. I don't know what the audience she was speaking to.
No idea.
It may be, I have no idea.
But if that is happening in the black community, that's a real problem. And maybe it is. Maybe it is. I know that, it's a matriarchal society, and that is one of the problems. I mean, if you want to talk to the black community about problems, Bill Cosby was right. Now, Bill Cosby is
wrong on a few other things.
He's wrong on some really big things.
The use of certain medications is at the top of the list.
But if you remember right, before any of that came forward, there were a lot of people on the left that were mad at Bill Cosby because he was saying, we've got to raise strong men.
Yeah, do we have where this actually happened? Because it could be single moms. It could be, there are 100 different groups it could be. And maybe that was the issue there. But I don't know. I mean, that's an interesting way of looking at it. I don't, I would think that if anything, the typical way the differences between boys and girls and the way they're raised has been talked about, at least that I've heard over my entire life, is that you're too like, hard and like, toughen up, boy, that type of like when you're talking to your son, you're saying like, don't cry. Don't show emotion, power through. That sort of attitude is what I've always heard was the issue with raising boys. You tend to put too much on them too early. And the idea that that you're coddling them is the opposite of what I thought I would identify as the standard complaint about that.
Can I tell you something? The problem is we coddle our children. We coddle our children. We never want them to feel pain. And I understand that. But no pain, no gain.
So you agree with Michelle that we coddle our boys?
No, I think we coddle all of our children.
Just all of them.
All of them.
I think
when it comes to, as a society, when it comes to boys, we ignore them or tell them the opposite of what has always raised strong men. Look, you are the man of the house. You are the protector. You are built differently. You are stronger physically. When there is a problem, you need to step up. You need to be the protector.
Well, that's the opposite of coddling.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's, that's your
support. But we don't even teach that, though. We don't teach that.
I mean, I think a lot of people do.
Oh, I agree with you, but not society.
Yeah, maybe not.
Not society. They're teaching women, you're stronger, you're this, you're that, you can do everything. Yeah, I get
that's
it.
Great.
I get it. That's wonderful. But then they don't teach that to boys. They tell boys, hey, be more like a girl. Like you said, don't ever say toughen up. Come on, stand back up.
I think the biggest problem with all of this, including Michelle Obama, is that she has some gender normative standard that defines the difference between boys and girls.
I'm going to leave that as the last word because that's good eating. I can feast on that sentence all day long. We've been working with Liberty Safe now for over 7 years. I'm giving a speech tonight in Houston. I'm flying out after the show, and I was in the Liberty Safe yesterday looking at some of the artifacts.
How'd you get out?
How did I get out of what?
The Liberty Safe. You said you were in the Liberty Safe yesterday. It seems like it would be terrifying. They're very secure. You should never go inside your liberty safe. You just reach inside from the outside.
So anyway, I was standing on the outside of the liberty safe, looking into my liberty safe and grabbing some of the stuff. And honestly, the security that thing provides. I mean, we keep, you know, we have documents in there. Yesterday, somebody was with me and I said, look at this. They were just amazed at all the things. I said, this is an original copy from 1820 of the Declaration of Independence. You know, just like crazy stuff. You're not going to put that in just anything. We keep them in Liberty safes. A Liberty safe bolted to the foundation isn't going anywhere, and no one is opening it. Liberty Safe. Right now, you can get a great price and receive 12 months interest-free payments with zero down and zero APR. Whether you're keeping, you know, something from the founders, or you're just keeping, you know, the photos that you have of the children, you need someplace safe, someplace that's will survive pretty much anything the world can throw at it. Liberty Safe. They're now offering as low as $20 a month, $20 a month. And there is nothing like owning a Liberty Safe. Peace of mind, lifetime warranty, in-home delivery service, and it's unmatched in the industry. Have yours installed in your home now with 12 months interest-free payments or as low as $20 a month on approved credit. It's Liberty Safe, the home of the best-built safes on the planet, LibertySafe.com. That's LibertySafe.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
I'm going to give you some audio and some video that you'll say, I can't believe, I don't even understand it. And then I'm going to give you a couple of pieces of audio that will take you back to a time where you're like, oh my gosh, I understand this world. A couple of things that have been said by, you know, big people on the planet this week totally made sense and made me go, oh, okay, it's not just me. And we'll get to those in a second. But first, I want to take you to Venezuela, where the people of Venezuela, because of socialism, are literally eating their dogs and their cats. Literally. There's nothing left of Venezuela. Yesterday, the guy who wanted to be president because he was a bus driver, he was just like you. Now he's a multimillionaire. How did that happen? Besides stealing money from the people. Maduro, the Venezuelan president, was giving a speech. Go ahead and roll this. He was giving a speech Adelante. To the people. And right in the middle of it, first of all, he looks like Joseph Stalin. He reaches down and he takes a bite of an empanada in the middle of his presidential speech.
Right, and he's playing, you hear him talking throughout it, he's playing some other audio. Like, he presses a button, they fire off another speech, he thinks he's not on TV anymore, so his starving nation isn't watching him, and then he goes to behind the desk and pulls out a delicious meal.
Can you imagine that? And so now everybody is saying, let him eat empanadas. It's incredible.
How consistent is this with everything that was on the Chalkboard series this week? On
Wish We Had It.
Yeah, I mean...
Wish We Had It.
TheBlaze.com/TV if you want to watch it. There's four episodes this week, all on socialism. Venezuela was featured in one of them. But it goes through how, and I thought it was interesting to see, you think of like a Maduro, but like 6 months ago, people would have said, or a year ago, people would have said, oh, he's a nice guy and it's failing before he started becoming president. Mm-hmm. He would have been like, oh, it's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. And that's been the case throughout. Yeah, these guys turn into dictators once they get power. Yeah, they turn into Hitler. They turn into Stalin. They turn into Chavez. They turn into Maduro. But they don't start that way all the time. Yeah. Even in cases where the people started off with the best of intentions and were good people by all accounts, this failed as miserably as it fails everywhere
else. That's why, you know, as this series that we did at the Blaze TV, and you can watch it now on demand, the series that we did all this week, that's why we said it was the biggest lie. Socialism is nothing but a huge lie. It doesn't work. It's never worked. But it always starts with the best intentions. And the ones who get hurt are usually the ones who are on the street fighting for it.
They're the first to get hurt because the poor are decimated by it in the end. As you're seeing now, they are eating cats and literally eating cats and dogs, while the people up at the top, they're having their empanada.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
The problem in the world today is we love our boys and we raise our girls, you know? We raise them to be strong, and sometimes we take care not to hurt men.
I don't understand.
And I think we pay for that a little bit. Mm. And that's a we thing, because we're raising them, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's powerful to have strong men, but what does that strength mean? Mm. You know, does it mean respect? Does it mean responsibility? Does it mean compassion? Or are we protecting our men too much so they feel a little entitled?
What?
And a little, you know... you know, a little self-righteous sometimes, but that's kind of on us too, as women and mothers.
Yeah,
you know, as we nurture men and push girls to be perfect.
Mm.
What are you talking? I literally do not understand what she's saying, and I'm offering a you know, a copy of Liars, or, you know, that we're entering the holiday season, you know, the Snow Angel, or the Immortal Nicholas. Yeah. I'll sign it if you can explain it to me and it makes sense.
I also think, I was just testing that, because I think part of this, the charm of that clip is just when people are behind you saying something like, it makes it so much more powerful. It just, it just adds a little... A little importance, and that's on us. The importance of chocodiles and hamsters and
crab claws.
It just works. It like does. No matter what you're saying,
if you just have somebody next to you going, all of a sudden you as the listener are like, is it just me? I don't know, what the hell they're even talking about. let me go to Wayne in Indiana. Hello, Wayne.
Hello, Glenn.
Explain away.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Well, here's my circumstance. I'm a recently retired school teacher, and for the last several years, I taught in a district that had a great ethnic mix, you know, 50-50 black and white, and I worked in fifth and sixth grade, so we're talking about 11- and 12-year-old boys, and I would find in my teaching that occasionally some of the African-American boys were completely, you know, bouncing off the furniture, you know, throwing things, getting attention. And I would talk to other teachers and say, what is going on with this young man? You know, what's the problem? And they said, well, one of the things we realize is that in an African-American family, if you have four or five children, the youngest male child is the perfect angel, a blameless, holy creature. And if they pull the cat's tail, you know, isn't that cute? If they throw a baseball through the TV set, oh, you are going to be a big league pitcher. So when they come to school and they act the same way, they're truly, in my experience, they simply don't understand why you're expecting a different set of behavior from them when they're used to being that way. They've received no discipline at all.
Okay, so I kind of can relate in some regard, very little. Because Tanya is from a real Italian family. I mean, a talk with your hands, real Italian, from Italy, Italian family. And the boys and the relationship with their mothers is remarkable, just remarkable. They can do no wrong. You know, mom will fix it all with meatballs. And, you know, they make the meal for the sons. So maybe that's kind of the same thing, maybe, culturally?
Yeah, maybe it's not just one culture, but that was my experience, was that the youngest male child pretty much gets to rule the roost.
Okay.
That's interesting. So in
hang on, Wayne. Do you want a book?
Sure. I have most of the rest of your books. I might as well have this one, too.
Which one do you want?
The one you're talking about, Liars?
Liars? Okay, good. Hang on to the phone. We'll get it... for you.
So under this construct here.
Oh, I hate that word.
I know, but I mean, I think it's the appropriate use for it, because under this construct, essentially, she's delivering tough talk to the African American audience.
Maybe.
And we're certainly not the targets of that, unless we identify that way. Are you identifying as an African American today?
No, it's Friday.
Okay.
No.
Okay, okay. No. So in case, and I don't want to, if you happen to be identifying that way, that's okay. But I mean, that might be
and
just something.
And we believe you.
It might be a cultural difference that is not necessarily part of our cultural background. And she's actually doing something similar to what Bill Cosby did, right? Where Cosby... Yeah. Tried to do the same thing where he tried to identify things that he saw in the African American community and deliver tough talk.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
Michelle is doing the exact same thing here.
Yeah,
I mean, and then hamsters and macaroni and cheese with pepper jack and delicious treats and because then you just keep saying anything,
right,
and it sounds
credible.
It sounds great. Is that what he was saying?
I think so.
That's an interesting thing. I mean, if that is a real...
And I do understand that a little bit because of, you know, my experience with seeing, you know, how Italians deal with moms and sons. It is crazy.
Well, I mean, my mom was Italian and I was, of course, the perfect child and she did not need... to brush off any of my indiscretions because I didn't have any.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Let me go to Kevin. It cuts both ways, doesn't it?
Really does.
It does.
It shuts you down immediately.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. You talking to me?
Okay. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Look, this is it. Go ahead. Here's the whole thing. I was raised and born, well, with my mother. You know, I'm an African-American guy, but I lived around the Italians, and they were the Badalis, and really, basically, they catered to the father. The father ran the whole thing, and we used to go over there, and you have to cook the meals and everything else. But back to your thing, if you listen to what Michelle said, what she said was this, is she said, we as women, that's where the point is. She should have started off with that at the beginning, because when the woman is raising the son, and I come from a mom who taught me, raised me as a single parent, and all I knew was is what my mom told me, and that's how I looked at women. That's why I think I've never had the woman of my dreams, because as I always look at women, I'm like, I'm terrified. It's like, if she chooses me, I say okay. If she chooses me, I say okay. I don't come at them. And so when we were raising Christopher, which is my stepson now, he's been privileged, and now he's gotten out into the world. And the world says, the hell with you. You need to earn this. You need to earn that. You need to do this. And now Christopher, he goes at the world, and he looks at it as it's his diamond. And the world's saying, no more diamonds. So he comes back to us, and he says, hey, this ain't working, guys. I need some help. And we're like, dude, you're 30 now. We're not helping you anymore. Well, at least I'm saying that. Because mama is now saying, I'm not raising you anymore. I'm not helping anymore. I'm not doing it. I can't do it, because Kevin's even telling me, hey, you want to stay with your son? You want to stay with me? You want to live with your son? You want to live with me? But before then, I was listening to the mother, and I let her do it. And like you said, Glenn, you said, I raise a son like this. I do it like this. That's because you're being a man in there. If the African-American male doesn't have a strong male figure,
yes.
I don't care if you got five of them in there. If he doesn't have a strong male figure, you know, he's being raised by his mother, and I know there's going to be some African-American mother backlash from this, but I'm saying, in general, unless he's a star athlete, hey, man, he's done, because he's going to be thinking like a woman. And by the time he realizes that, oh, my God, I'm a man. Oh, my God, I have responsibility. Oh, my God, they're not just going to give me anything. He's done. I think that's a better perspective than what the first guy gave you.
Okay.
Because the first guy's perspective was, you know, hey, if there's five of them and he's the baby, well, guess what? This one I'm talking about, he was the baby, all right? And he guess what? He was not throwing things through television, and we never told him he was cute when he did this. And, you know, I'm just telling you, Glenn, it's a whole different perspective, because you said it. You said when you did this to your son, and when I did this to my son, and I'm sure your wife had some, you know, part to play in it, but what I'm saying is when it's like when African-American males, when their mothers get involved, we coddle, and I coddle. I just listened to what she said, because I love my wife, and she said, we're going to do it this way, and oh, Christopher messed up here, well, he'll be all right. But now he's a grown man that's like, honey, I don't know what to do. And I'm looking at her like, well, I told you 10 years ago what to do. I told you 15 years ago what to do. And now it's like, well, I guess you were right, Kev. And so I'm telling you right now, it's your perspective that you did. Your perspective that you did when you said, well, I told my son, and if you go to your mother, by the way, he just, by the way, told his mother the other day, if you weren't my mother, I would blankety, blankety, blank. And we looked at him, and next thing you know, she said, I think he has a demon in him. I said, no, he don't have a demon in him. He has no demon. You raised him that way.
Wow, that's tough talk.
Kevin, it'd be an interesting to be a fly on the wall of your house if your wife is listening to this. I would just love to.
Well, I will tell you right now, she's actually at work. I won't say where she works because, you know, I don't want to give no national broadcasting. We work at the same place. But I'm going to tell you right now, I guarantee you 100% she would agree, because she told me last night, she said, what are we going to do now? And I said, don't start that with me. Don't start with me.
You know, I have to tell you, Kevin, there's a difference between what your wife said to you last night and you being on a national broadcast today. What's wrong with you, man?
Okay, I'll give you that. But you know what? You gave me the forum, Glenn.
Yeah,
you
I know.
Gave me the forum. I took my opportunity.
Hey, Kevin, you want a book?
Yes, I definitely do. I want the Liar's Book.
You want the Liar's Book. Okay, hang on. We'll get it autographed for you, and we'll send it out. Hang on just a second, Kevin. Thank you so much.
You know, I did not want to land here, but I mean, this is both pieces of evidence, and I think I'm kind of connecting that I think it's true, in that, like, I just assumed it was Michelle Obama bashing men or Michelle Obama. I have to give her the benefit of the doubt here. I think she's delivering tough talk to her audience, and that's not easy to do.
It may be.
I mean,
I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
But if these two guys are right, or somewhere in near the neighborhood, mm-hmm. I do understand it, and I salute her for that.
Yeah, because that's easy to do. Most people, there's a lot of people who don't appreciate those sorts of things.
I will tell you this. What Kevin just said, you know, I've had three girls. So I have three daughters and one son. And raising daughters and sons, entirely different. And it's amazing, because my daughters will be going through something and they'll be talking, and I'll have absolutely no idea what the hell they're even talking about. I have no idea. I'll be like, yep. And every time I get involved, I'll try to give a piece of advice, and my wife will just turn her head at me like, what the hell is wrong with you? And I'll just shut up. And then, you know, the daughter will leave the room and she'll say, what were you thinking? And I'm like, I don't know. I just thought that would fix it. And she's like, talk to me first. And I'm like, oh, okay. I have no idea how to raise a daughter. None. My son? Oh, I see him 100 miles away. I can see him 100. And my wife doesn't understand it. And I will look at her. She'll be like, Rafe, blah, blah. And I'll just look at her like, don't, you're undoing everything. No, don't do that. It takes a father and a mother to raise a child. And she's teaching my son things that are really important. And I'm teaching him things that are really important, and vice versa. If you don't have both parties, I don't know how you do it. It's the breakdown of the family.
Wow. I hope America is hearing your gender normative standards at work.
Yes.
Listen to you.
I agree. I hope America is hearing it.
Actually, there's another good idea here from Marianne. She says she understands the Michelle Obama thing. She's an AI who has malfunctioned, which I think is also plausible. So it's either tough talk to her own audience or artificial intelligence that had a little glitch.
Sooner or later, your car or truck or former first lady will break down. What happens? I can't tell you if it's an AI breakdown of the first lady, but I can tell you, you're lucky if your car or your truck breaks down and you're still under your manufacturer warranty and the repair is covered. My manufactured warranty is still in place because I bought my truck, 30 days ago. And the check engine light went off. Yeah.
It better still be in place after 30 days.
My gosh, the check engine light goes off. You're literally 2 weeks into this, and my check engine light goes off. What goes through your mind?
I bought the worst car that has ever been
purchased. Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly it's right. And I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. I did not buy a lemon. And I brought it and I said, okay, next light that goes off, I'm leaving the keys with you forever. And they're like, no, this doesn't happen. I'm like, I know it doesn't happen. And it's covered, right? And luckily it was a sensor. But that sensor could have cost me $1,000. I have an older diesel that, you know, way past warranty. No, not now. Not with Car Shield. If the warranty expires and you have a car like my diesel pickup, which 150,000 miles on it, that thing starts to go, it's going to cost me thousands. Get it covered from Car Shield, carshield.com. Take the stress out of your life. Skip the hassle. Car Shield will make the whole process really, really easy. I want you to go to carshield.com right now. That's carshield.com. And find out, you know, what it's going to cost to be able to get your car covered with Car Shield. The administrators make it really, really simple. They'll give you the they'll give you the VIP treatment, 24/7 roadside assistance at carshield.com. If your car is 3 to 12 years old, don't pay the high repair bills. Get it paid now by carshield.com. Go there now, carshield.com, and use the promo code, Beck? Yeah, promo code Beck, 800-823-9888, 800-823-9888. Mention the promo code Beck, and you get 10% off. Or you can just go to carshield.com, carshield.com. Deductible may apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Mr. Bill O'Reilly is coming up next. We are going to talk to him about the terror in New York City. Also, there's more out on the Republican tax plan, including a hidden 46% tax bracket. Oh, that's good. I guess we're going to have to pass the bill to find out what's in the bill. Bill O'Reilly coming up next.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Civil War has finally come to America. Civil War, it is happening. It's just happening in the Democratic Party, and no one is paying any attention. Former interim DNC chair Jonna Brazile dropped a bombshell yesterday when she revealed that the Clinton campaign, through internal corruption and unethical finances, wielded near complete control over the DNC. Oh my gosh, I'm completely shocked. What? The Clintons were underhanded and dirty? She went on to describe how the Obama campaign had left the party bankrupt and in shambles. Oh my gosh, who would have seen that coming? I'm sorry, I just have so much to say here. The Hillary campaign stepped in and began to pay off the millions in debt, but for a price. Brazile alleges that Hillary had, quote, the right of refusal of who would be the party communications director, who would make the final decisions on all the other staff. The DNC also required to consult with the campaign about all other staffing, budgeting, data, analytics, and mailings, end quote. Well, he who has the gold rules the world. Keep in mind, Hillary and her campaign were wielding this power over the DNC before she got the nomination. So Brazile is saying that both Trump and Bernie Sanders were right. The system was rigged in Hillary's favor. No. Let's forget the fact that Hillary Clinton beat Sanders by nearly 4 million votes. That's 55% of the vote with 12% point gap. If that were to happen in the general election, we'd be calling it a landslide. But forget all of that for a second. Here we have Jonna Brazile, who tried to rig a debate for Hillary, now saying Hillary rigged the primary against Bernie. Not only did she blast Hillary, she also made critical remarks regarding Obama, claiming his campaign basically destroyed the party. What are the Democrats doing? The New Yorker ran an article the day before all this came out saying that there was a big divide within the party and how to move forward. There are new leaders stepping forward amongst the Democrats, and they're beginning to push back against the establishment. Were Brazil's remarks part of an opening salvo aimed at overturning the current leadership? There is a new Democratic base growing, and this information is going to severely piss them off. The new base is listening to people like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and Harris. This is a socialist base. They want free health care, free college, and high minimum wage. They're sick of the middle, and they want a hard turn to the far left. Are you going to hear anyone call these guys radicals or extremists? No, you won't. A recent poll found that nearly half of millennials in the country now prefer to live in a socialist state over a capitalist state. This quiet civil war just went public, and the winners may take the word fundamental transformation to a whole new level.
It's Friday, November 3rd. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mr. Bill O'Reilly, let's start right there from BillO'Reilly.com. Tell me what you think of the Democratic Civil War.
Well, you're not being fair to Hillary.
No, I'm not.
I think everybody should email you back and say you're not right. being fair to Hillary.
Okay. All right. All right. How am I not being fair to her?
Because you're basically saying that she bought the Democratic nomination. She bought it. Mm-hmm. All right, by taking over the finances of the Democratic National Committee. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what you're saying, right?
Well, she bought the DNC, and she bought all the power that goes with it, but she still won in a landslide over Bernie.
Well, but that's not really germane to what's happening here. She didn't really matter if she won, because as I perspicaciously said on national television, she bribed all the superdelegates before the thing even started.
Yes.
She didn't have to do any of this.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
She had all the superdelegates. If you remember, superdelegates are people who show up at the convention, the nominating convention, and they don't have to. They're not bound by any voting. They can just vote for whoever they want to.
This is, by the way, the superdelegate thing is the way socialists actually always work.
So Hillary knew it was all a big facade. Hillary knew, and Bernie knew. I love Bernie, but Bernie. Yeah, he knew he was going to win. He had no shot, no matter how many votes he got, because the superdelegates were going to vote for Hillary Clinton. That was it. The fix was in before the process even started. That's how bad it is, and that's why I'm saying not being fair to Hillary Clinton, because she's far worse than you portrayed. You were too nice.
I'm sorry.
That's not fair.
I tried to be fair. I'll try to be even fairer next time.
Here's the soundbite of the week. I love this. She goes on the Daily Show with Trevor, whoever he is.
Oliver.
I don't know who he is. Nobody watches the show. No, that's Oliver's on HBO. It's Noah.
That's Trevor John Noah, Oliver. Okay? This one is Kevin, or this one is
Trevor Noah.
Trevor Noah. That's right. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. There's a million of these things, and nobody watches them.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, she's sitting there plugging her book, which, by the way, I'm outselling her. Thank God. And then she says, well, we might have funneled some money into Fusion GPS, more than $1 million, okay? Yeah, I didn't know that, of course. But even if I had, what's wrong with that? It's just opposition research. You're just trying to figure out what the charges are, and then we would vet them. Of course we would. Now, this is the same crew that when Donald Trump Jr. said that he'd meet with some Russian lawyer who said she had dirt on Hillary Clinton, it was 3 weeks of panic on CNN. It was like people, Donald Trump Jr., where's the news? String him up. okay? Donald Trump Jr., the guy with the hair, okay? They wanted to hang him. Hillary Clinton, the same exact thing by 10.
Okay, hang on, stop. This is, by the way, Starbucks must be doing really well in your neighborhood because you're fired up. Now listen.
Genuine outrage.
So here's the thing. I have been saying all week, we have been talking about it all week. I mean this sincerely. When you're watching CNN, they are trying to say that the Fusion GPS is nothing and what happened in Trump Tower is the worst crime of all. And I cannot see a difference other than one tried and failed, the other succeeded and paid lots of money for it and then tried to shop it around and then gave it to the FBI and they used it. I mean,
and it was all bogus, so we have to continue to point that out. All of these things in that so-called dossier were fabricated crap. But look, okay, so you, Glenn Beck, and me, Bill O'Reilly, we see the absurdity, and I'm sure your listeners do too, and the hypocrisy and everything else of where we are in this country, that you, the regular person cannot get the truth from the national media. Can't. It's impossible because they are basically in business to promote a secular progressive agenda and change the country. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would.
Okay. So that what the people
well,
do
hang on.
Now,
wait. I'm not sure that it's, in fact, I don't believe it's a coordinated effort. I do believe they just all really, truly believe the bullcrap that they are shoveling.
Whoa. Yeah, now you're making a big mistake. And Stu, I want you to, you know, stay close to Beck on this.
Step in.
You say it's not a coordinated effort in the sense that they don't get up every morning and call each other.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
The Republicans do that far more than the Democrats
do. It's massive groupthink. They all had the same teachers. They all had the same universities.
No, more than that, though, Beck. More than that. It's shaming. If a guy on CNN, I don't even know who they are now. It's just, or Tapper, I think he's over there, right?
Or
one of those guys. All right, if they were to dare go against the orthodoxy that's in play with the secular progressive movement, if they were to dare question it, dare to be fair. Oh, I love that slogan, dare to be fair. Okay, they would be shunned. Okay, shunned.
Okay, hang on just a second.
They couldn't go out of the house.
Hang on.
They'd be shunned.
Hang on.
That's the pressure.
I believe that Jake Tapper was doing all of those things during the Obama administration. In the mainstream media, he was the only one. Well, I shouldn't say that. Garrett was also very good. There were a couple that were really good at actually holding the feet to the fire at the White House during the Obama administration. And on CNN, the only one was Jake Tapper. And I think he's getting a raw deal now because I like people who are hated by both parties. I like that.
Well, I disagree with you. I think his hatred of Donald Trump has put him into a category where you're never going to get a fair shake. That's changed the equation. So once Donald Trump was elected, the Washington Beltway people were so appalled and angry that all objectivity went out the window. So, a tax cut thing here, whether you like it or not, it's worth a try for the working people of America. It's worth a try to see if this would gin up the economy. You're never going to get that analysis from the left ever, because if it passes, it helps Trump. So no matter what, they throw all the people overboard. And their ideology, their anti-Trump ideology or hatred dominates.
Okay, so would you say, to be fair, that there's that going on the right with the media? For instance, Jake Tapper this week said something about Allah Akbar and it's, you know, it can be a beautiful thing.
That was just stupid.
Right?
That was stupid.
But wait a minute. Yeah. But wait a minute. That came originally, that story came from InfoWars. Then it went to Fox. It was a stupid and completely wrong thing, but people spread it, agreed with it, and it's because of an unreasonable hatred of the media.
No, but you're not seeing a bigger picture here. There's a lot of hatred now on the right.
Yes.
Hatred, really, really hatred.
Yes.
Of these people who now have turned news organizations into propaganda mills. So if they get anything, any traction, they ram it down their throat. You know, that was, look.
But wait. That makes us exactly the same. It's hatred, the problem.
No, it doesn't. You don't do that, do you?
No. I'm saying if we agree with that and tolerate it, it does. I mean, hatred is the problem. We can't be blinded by our hate for the media to just lump everybody into it, and they can't lump everything that Donald Trump does because they hate him.
Yeah, but you're doing a moral equivalency here, and it's not even close. So I would warn you about if you have a national media that is dominated by people who want to destroy the presidency, that pales, okay, to people reacting against it.
Right, but it has nothing to do with our behavior. Our behavior, we must take the responsibility for our behavior while holding others accountable as well. We must hold ourselves accountable.
I would agree with that. But the big crisis in this country, and it is a crisis, is that the press is now corrupt.
No, I would disagree with you. The big crisis in this country is that we have no moral underpinnings as a society.
All right. And I agree with that, but that's a huge, big tent issue. I'm just talking about trying to get information to the folks.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even get information to the folks anymore. Can't do it.
Well,
if you are a person who tries to be fair, and I think you do, and I certainly do, Stu, I'm not so sure about. But if you are a person that tries to be fair, you're going to get your throat ripped out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. By both sides.
Yep. Hang on just a second.
Primarily from the far left.
I want to pick it up. I want to pick it up there with something that I found stunning this week, a piece of audio I'd love to get your comments on. When we come back, Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. I hear he has a best-selling book out now, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't know if that's true.
Is it like Killing England? I heard it's outselling Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Of course, I heard it from him. So
number one book in the country, Killing England, from Bill O'Reilly and BillO'Reilly.com. You want your home sold on time and for the most money without all sorts of excuses? If you've ever tried to sell your house and you have one of those real estate agents like, I'm going to put some balloons up and we're going to have an open house, and then nothing happens, and then they start to avoid you and they give you all kinds of excuse after excuse after excuse. Enough. Enough. We have 1,000 agents all over America who are just like you. Their bond is their word, or their word is their bond. They are fans of the show. They are people that share your same kind of sensibilities, and they're hardworking. Our agents are fully vetted and handpicked, and we look for people who have real marketing strategies, because it is all about the marketing. Thousands of families have already put Real Estate Agents I Trust to the test, and the results are really, truly remarkable. If you are looking to buy a home or sell your home and you want the best price, if you're buying and you want your home sold as quickly as possible for the best price, we have the real estate agent for you. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
The Mercury fundraiser we do every year, the Mercury M1 ball and raffle is coming up. The ball is happening the weekend before Thanksgiving. I think that's November 18th. And Chuck Norris is going to be there along with his wife. I think he's one of the chair people this year. I and my wife will be there. And you can buy your tickets at mercury1.org/M, the number one ball. But we're also giving away a GMC Canyon pickup truck, 2017 GMC. Tickets are $100. Bill O'Reilly, how many tickets am I going to put you down for?
You know, I think I'm going to bring my whole crew, the whole Levittown, New York crew.
Are you really?
Yeah, you don't have to wear ties, do you?
Yeah, you do. Actually, no, this year it's a cowboy theme, so you don't have to wear anything.
Yeah, but we have a lot of cowboys on Long Island.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Anyway,
I got one question before we launch into the serious stuff. You got a lot of new age stuff going on, a lot of dinging and little chime music and all of that. Is that an outreach to the millennials? Or what is
no, it's just really something that we burn incense here. And we're worshiping that god with an elephant head and like human arms. So I don't even know what the name is.
Hindu motif going on.
Yeah, like that's what we have going on. So, Bill, I want you to hear something because anybody who has been in the right knows that we are constantly under attack. And they list our sponsors and people who have never sponsored the show, and they track who's dropping, et cetera, et cetera. Listen to Kathy Griffin about TMZ. Listen to this.
When the Trump mask photo came out, why did TMZ need to report every single one of my shows that was canceled in real time? Why? What was the point of that? What do they care if I had a show canceled at the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey? It feels targeted. Oh. And now that we know that Harvey Levin
Stop.
Is...
It feels targeted.
Yeah, I know.
She feels targeted, Bill.
You know, I mean, this woman must live in Bangladesh. That's where her permanent residence must be. This has been going on for how long back? This Media Matters.
It started by the Clintons in 2000, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, this has been going on, and she's just checking this out now that it's hit her.
Right.
You know, it's a horrible, disgraceful part of the American landscape that corporate sponsors give into this kind of blackmail. And if you don't do what we say, and we're crazy, so it's not like we're fair, then we'll try to hurt your business. I mean, the best example of this that everybody knows is Ivanka Trump and Nordstrom's.
Yes.
That was so outrageous.
Yes.
So outrageous that they threatened Nordstrom if they didn't drop Ivanka Trump's clothing line. For what reason? Ivanka Trump was just, what was she doing? Helping her father? And Nordstrom's gave into it? I mean, that was the end. So Kathy Griffin, you know, I mean, I think the woman is, well, forget it. It's not.
Just watch her. You can think all kinds of
like
things yourself.
People when they're down. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't like that.
Right.
She's down. I just found it
so unbelievably. Self-inflicted naivety to where she is thinking that people aren't targeted in America. Are you kidding me?
She missed the Ivanka Trump thing or the O'Reilly thing. Yeah. They did it to me too, and they did it to you.
They did it to me. They did it to Sean Hannity. They've done it to Rush Limbaugh. I mean, give it a rest. Back in a minute.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. Bill O'Reilly, you know, you said earlier that, you know, there's an attack on our way of life. I don't know if you saw this, but Cosmo is now pushing incest. There's an article. This is what it's like to fall in love with your brother. And it affectionately shows man and woman who are brother and sister who fell in love with each other, even though they were both married, decided after a glass of wine to sleep together. They did, and he got a divorce, and she just now lives in an open relationship. And there's not a word of condemnation in the entire article, Bill. Where are we headed?
Well, you know, I think that's an obscure publication, and I wouldn't
Cosmo
banner it in. Yeah, I mean, it's those magazines that were once familiar to Americans have really almost disappeared. It's a fringe kind of thing now. Their circulation is way down. But I think the larger question, and this is a theme that you hit all the time, is that you're basically, we're a country now that has turned inward, and that whatever we want as individuals, we can justify. no matter how, who gets hurt, no matter what the conduct is, no matter what the repercussions for society are, we can justify everything. So if we want to be a heroin addict, well, we can justify that. And if the family gets destroyed and the children get abused because I'm on drugs or alcohol, I can justify that because my had a bad upbringing or whatever. And if I want to do something ruthless to advance my self in the marketplace and betray people, I can do that because, you know, it's me and whatever's good for me is good for the universe. That's what's happening. And the internet, of course, goes hand in hand with that because you can always find people there that will sympathize with you. It's like those, remember NAMBLA, the child molester crew? Well, they were marginalized to the extent that they couldn't even leave their basements, these people. They would be stoned to death. Now on the internet, they have like clubs all over the world, and they have meetups. I mean, it's just,
and yet at
this
the same,
what's happening.
And at the same time, look at what Kevin Spacey, CAA dropped Kevin Spacey yesterday like a hot potato because he looks like a pedophile, and the abuse is crazy. So at the same time, we're diametrically opposed to ourselves.
Bill, it seems like 1974 when this happened, but it was actually this week. The George Papadopoulos and Paul Manafort and Gates thing that went on with the president. The Papadopoulos thing, I had to get your take on how the media is reacting to this guy who I had never heard his name until this week. It didn't seem like anybody had ever heard his name. And this is the comment that the media is trying to make a big deal about from the president, where he called Papadopoulos an excellent guy. Listen.
George Papadopoulos. He's an oil and energy consultant. Excellent guy.
That's their evidence.
That's it.
He'd never heard this guy's name,
Trump,
right,
Bill? Calls everybody an excellent guy. I mean, and then until trouble, and then there are. But look, this is a 30-year-old guy who was a fringe person in the campaign. He wanted to be more than that. He tried to get some kind of access to Russia, and he lied to the FBI. So that's the story. Now, did Donald Trump deal with him? No. I mean, he was one of five so-called advisors, but, Trump doesn't deal at that level. So it's another story that means nothing that is seized upon to embarrass the president because that's the goal. You know, wear people down, wear the country down. Every day have something else. That's the goal.
Is there anything to the idea, Bill, that he could have been wearing a wire the past few months and maybe...
No idea. And I don't do speculation. You guys know that. Okay. I don't know.
So then I don't know if I can ask you this question if you don't do speculation. What is Obama and the Obama Foundation going to be doing?
Foundation?
Yeah, they just launched the new Obama Foundation, and the mission is not clear.
Really good things?
Really good things. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be doing good things.
Can I tell you an interesting story? And I'll keep it brief because I know you guys, our attention spans are very short.
Very short.
We're like fish.
I had access to Barack Obama because of the Brothers Keepers program, which I thought was a magnificent program. That's when corporate people mentor inner city youth, mostly young black men. So corporations provide young black men with guidance and access and all kinds of things, like the Big Brothers. Mm-hmm. But it's targeted toward advancing young black men and getting them motivated in a career. I thought that was a terrific program, a really fabulous program. And the president and I, President Obama, talked about it on a number of occasions. I put together a concert that would have raised probably hundreds of millions of dollars for this program. I'm not going to go into detail, but it was really a sophisticated deal with very big names appearing to raise money for the Brothers Keeper. The Obama administration wouldn't do it because I was involved. And I said, I don't even want any notice. You don't even have to tell anybody that I'm the producer and I put this together. I put together corporate sponsors. I had the venue. The White House sent people to New York to meet with me. It was an amazing array of money that could have been raised, and they wouldn't do it. because I was behind it. And, you know, that said a lot to me about Barack Obama.
Oh, our attention span had run out. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I was looking. Okay, I was looking up at the top of the food to see if anybody sprinkled food at the top of the water here.
Right.
Tell me about taxes. What your thoughts are on the GOP?
Give it a shot. Stop whining. Give it a shot. You know, it's not going to be perfect, no matter what it is. Somebody's not going to like something, and lobbyists are going to. But if this thing, if the corporate tax cut. Can reinvigorate the economy, everybody will prosper. Everybody will benefit. Everybody's working. So give it a shot.
But you
make it better. If some part of it isn't working, then you go back in and make it better. But stop with the whining, and I want this, and I want that. Oh, my God.
I'm going to whine like crazy on this one. But you're right. The 20% corporate tax rate is a great move, and I totally support that.
Anything that cuts taxes, good. We're in on. So know that going in.
So how
we're
about in. When
well,
they
you
raise...
You guys are living in Texas, so, I mean, you don't have any state tax.
I know. You should move here. It's great.
But I'm not even going to complain about that. I will complain about how the Republicans, with control of everything, are creating a new 46% income tax bracket. How is that possible? They have control of everything, and their starting negotiating position is a brand new 46% tax bracket. How is that possible?
Yeah, on the people who are making millions of dollars, they have to pay the top rate. They're not going to get a cut, and then you add the Obama tax onto it and other things. And you get it up there very, very high, and it's purely a political move. It's not fair. It's not fair for people who are successful to pay half their money to the government. It's not fair. But it's a political move because there are so few of those people. But I'll tell you this, for the wealthy people who think they're getting hosed, okay. But most wealthy people have investments, all right? Most wealthy people have stock portfolios. And if this thing goes through, those stock portfolios will go up. So they will make money as well. But yes, is it fair that somebody who works hard and succeeds has to fork over?
Yeah, I don't even think that's
money.
I don't even think that's the point. The point is, how are they? I mean, if these are defenders, if these are the ones, and they come out and they start there, I mean, you know, basically we're starting with, you know, Joe Lieberman. That was the Democratic position. This used to be the Democratic position. We don't have anybody who actually believes in small government and low taxes and low spending anymore.
No, I would say that's right. I mean, Trump's not a small government guy, and he knows that his reelection hinges upon working people, not wealthy people. So he's going to, you know, give all of the cuts to the working people, and that's the way he's going to play it. So it's a purely political move. They hope to peel off a few Democrats to vote for it, but probably not going to happen with Schumer, you know, having that big axe to cut off your head. But look, you know what it is. It's politics.
All right. Bill, thank you so much. Any plans?
I'm getting a boot.
You're getting a boot. You're getting a boot. I want to swim over near the castle.
That's what did it. I want everybody to buy BillO'Reilly.com premium membership. Our new motto, Beck, do you know what the new motto is? No, you don't.
No, I
take
don't.
Take your country back.
That's mm-hmm. I've take heard
your
that.
Take country back.
Yes.
And you got to get involved. So BillO'Reilly.com and Killing England, thanks for the plug earlier. I really appreciate it.
Yep.
And thanks for having me on.
You got it, Bill.
I hope it was edifying for you.
Is that the word of the day?
Word of the day, edifying.
All right. Thank you very much. Bill O'Reilly for BillO'Reilly.com. Well, Casper has outdone themselves, and I want to be real frank with you. When they sent the mattress, I was really excited because I have chronic pain, and mainly in my shoulders, I have TOS, and so it's excruciating sometimes to sleep. So I have been looking for, you know, anything to help me with sleep. So Casper said, we have a new bed that is just been designed. It's a wave mattress, and it's designed. It has a contour of your body underneath. And then all of the, you know, really good non-heat trapping foam that they invented. And they said, this one is specifically made for people who have some chronic pain. And I said, please, I'd love to try that out when you get it. So they got it and they shipped it to me. We were one of the first in the country to have it. And I'm going to be straight up with you. For the first probably 2 to 3 nights, I didn't like it. I think I even said that in their first commercial. I'm not sure if I like it.
Good commercial.
I'm not sure if they're, but I want to be straight up with you. I'm not sure if I liked it. I liked the other one. I will tell you now, after sleeping on the new wave for, I think I've had it for about a month now, I absolutely love it. I am sleeping through the night. It is really, really comfortable. It doesn't trap the heat. It's really good. Try it in your home for 100 nights, risk-free. It's, to me, this proves that you cannot go into a store and lay down on a mattress and say you like it. Because when I first laid down on it, when I popped it out of the box and I laid down on it, I loved it. Then I slept on it for a couple of nights and I didn't like it. Well, I did the thing in the store, except it was in my house. I did it in the store and I liked it. And then 3 days later, I'm like, oh, crap. This is the thing with Casper. You try it for 100 nights. They will refund every penny. They will pick it up and they will ship it back for free if you don't love it. But you have to sleep on it for a few nights. That's the difference. So go to Casper.com, use the promo code Beck. You could save $75 on your purchase at Casper.com, promo code Beck. Minimum purchase is required. See site for details. Terms and conditions do apply. Casper.com, promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Oh my gosh, I'm constantly trying to. Have you ever been with somebody where you try to give them hints? I'm not interested, and you first start with like, huh, that's interesting. And then you just start like, looking at your buttons on your shirt, and they never get it. That's working with Stu when he starts in with the stats.
Well, this is why I went on Facebook Live here, and we're on Facebook Live right now, so you can go and check it out. And I was going over all the inner workings and details of the tax plan, which you won't let me get to on the air.
No, go ahead. Some of it is interesting. I'll tell you when I start looking at my buttons.
Okay, 46% tax bracket.
I'm looking at my buttons. No, I'm not. Go ahead.
So they've raised it. Republicans have raised the highest tax bracket.
Bill is wrong on this. This isn't the Obama thing. This is an actual.
This is an addition to
this.
This
is a new tax bracket.
Yes, it goes from 39.6 to 45.6 on the wealthiest earners. Now, that, of course, is Bill is completely correct when he says it's totally a political move. This is not something that Republicans believe, I don't think. Certainly, they haven't run on this ever. But they're doing it because they can say to Susan Collins and they can deflect Elizabeth Warren and say, actually, we raised it higher than Obama had it.
Yep.
So that is why they're doing it. But that's incomprehensible. And when you add in some of the other taxes, it's really about 50%. They also did a lot of these little tricks because they can't stand on their principles and say, look, we think the government should have less money because the government does too much. So we want to restrict how much money they have because they have too much money and they do too many things. They can't say that.
Yep.
So what they say instead is, well, we're going to make this as close to revenue neutral as possible. So the way they did that is they're going to tell you about a lot of these advantages, but they're going to play with the inflation on it. So, for example, the tax brackets used to adjust with a different type of inflation adjustment. Now, this I can understand you looking at your buttons on, but the point is,
I didn't even know what he was saying. I forgot about my buttons. I've been so.
The point is, what they're going to do is they change the inflation calculation so that you will get into a higher tax bracket more quickly. So over time, it looks okay now, but it'll get worse and worse and worse as time goes on. The same thing with the property tax deduction that they had. They didn't adjust that for inflation at all. So as taxes get higher over time, more and more people will spend more and more of their money. Same thing with the mortgage deduction. They did the exact same thing there. And the child tax credit. None of it's adjusted for inflation. So as time goes on, you'll get screwed by those things more and more and more and more. The 45% one is the one I'm really frustrated about because I just can't believe they did it. They lied to Stephen Moore about it.
This is a big one. Yeah. Stephen Moore, I think Stephen Moore sold his soul to the devil.
And we love Stephen Moore.
I love Stephen. I love him. But he came out during the election and said, look, the people are speaking and they like populism and nationalism, so get on board. I thought that was dangerous for Stephen to say that.
Stephen sold his soul to help get elected. He helped design the tax plan. And when they came out and said, what about this 46% tax bracket? He said,
quote, I was just in a briefing with the White House on this. They didn't mention that. Seems kind of bizarre to me. Goes on to say what a terrible idea it is and how wrong it is, because it is. I mean, you know, it's everything.
They're not even
against.
Honest with people in their own circle.
Incredible.
Really bad. Really bad. Back in a minute.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Will we ever see a truly innovative tax plan in America? No. As long as the Republicans are the party in power, nope. No, and the Democrats won't. No, actually, the Democrats would give us a truly inventive one for America. It will look a lot like the old Soviet tax plan. They'll take everything. So, yes, you could have that, but Republicans, worthless. We are now 10 months into the Republicans controlling the House, the Senate, and the White House. Can somebody remind me which legislative goals have been accomplished again? There was the confirmation of the Supreme Court nominee, Neil Gorsuch. That was good. Go ahead. Give me anything else the Congress has done. Go ahead. Just let it rip. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. They did botch the overhaul of health care. They never got that. Never got that really done. President Trump and the Republicans in Congress are so desperate for something they can hang their hats on because the clock is ticking on 2017 and they need to win anyway. Tax reform, quick tax reform. Surely that's the ticket. They've been talking about fixing our complicated tax code for years. This is their big chance. In fact, several of the candidates ran on a 10% tax cut. I mean, cutting it to 10%, not cutting 10%. Remember, they were going to do that and they were going to stop spending? Yeah, the spending limits are all blown. But they need a catchy title. To pass something, you need something like Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Wow. Low score for originality on that one. But it is the substance that counts. Don't judge a book by its cover. The subtitle? More jobs, fairer taxes, bigger paychecks. Whoa. Now, they've worked a long time on the title and the subtitle. But how are they going to do these things? Well, the House Republican tax plan came out yesterday. It's mostly like everything else Congress has slapped together this year. Really underwhelming. Your eyes will glaze over as you read the plan. And I have an executive producer who has been taking me through it all day over and over and over again until you want to hang yourself.
Sorry.
But wait until you get to the really good stuff. And, well, you don't ever find that. But what they consider really good stuff, and you'll say to yourself, that's the best they could come up with? And then you find out about the hidden 46% tax bracket that they haven't announced that's in the tax plan. So we are now giving, as Donald Trump said, this is the best, this is the biggest, and no one has ever done anything like this in America before. Actually, Woodrow Wilson and FDR did this, but other than that, no Republican has that I know of. In the press conference announcing the plan, Paul Ryan called it real relief for people in the middle. And there is maybe some relief. The new family credit expands the tax credit from $1,000 to $1,600 per child. And overall, it looks like most Americans will pay a little less in taxes with this plan. But it really depends on several factors. So far, the only thing that jumps off the page as a potential game changer is reducing the corporate tax rate from 35 to 20%. But that's really all Congress ever cares about, isn't it? The corporations, they don't care in Washington about you. You don't have any power. They care about the unions because they have power. They care about the corporations because they have power. You don't have any real power. In fact, I contend that the Republicans despise you. The Democrats have always despised you. Look at how they treat their friends. Look how great they have been to the African American in the inner city, right? One thing that will help you is the corporate tax rate if corporations decide to invest that money in you and be able to invest that money in actual products, making products better, and not investing it in a runaway bogus stock market, which is probably what they will do. American companies will compete better on the world stage. That's good. It could create more jobs. It might attract more foreign companies to set up shop in the U.S. But other than that, the Tax Cuts and Job Act is about as uninspired as the title. It's a slight improvement. Nothing innovative. I'll take it. But this is the best we've got? The only bright side is Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi don't like the plan. So we can always hope there's something in there that can't be all that bad.
It's Friday, November 3rd. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, I'm looking over the news, and I just want to show you a couple of things. Let's go with Warren on Sanders and the DNC. Now, here's Elizabeth Warren. There is a civil war going on, and nobody in the media is talking about it. But it is the civil war in the DNC, and the socialists are taking over. And you need to hear it. Here's Warren on Sanders.
This is a test for Tom Perez. And either he's going to succeed by bringing Bernie Sanders and Bernie Sanders representatives into this process, and they're going to say it's fair, it works, we all believe it, or he's going to fail. And I very much hope he succeeds. I hope for Democrats everywhere. I hope for Bernie and for all of Bernie's supporters that he's going to succeed.
Very quickly, Senator, do you agree with the notion that it was rigged?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So there's that. That's a warning shot. Elizabeth Sanders saying to the establishment, get the hell out of the way. Bernie's people need to be in. This is going to fundamentally transform the DNC. And the media is not making a big deal out of this because they don't want to show any cracks. And quite honestly, I think even more insidious, if you really want to go on the dark side, if they don't bring this up, so many Americans will just think the DNC is still the DNC. Democrats are still Democrats. No, they're becoming socialists. The socialist wing is taking over. That is radical in America. Not constitutionalists. Socialists are radical in America. Now, here's Hillary once again blaming someone else for her loss. You need to hear this. Hillary blames the media.
Some of it, I will say, is media guilt. You know, when they now have to face the way they covered this campaign and the fact that they didn't pay any attention to policies, which, you know, I thought would be important, and spent a lot of time saying, okay, here's what we're going to do on an infrastructure plan. Right, here's what we're going to do to improve the Affordable Care Act and everything I worked on. They were so totally entranced by the reality TV element of it and the entertainment value of it that I'm told, and some members of the press have privately said to me, look, they missed it. They missed it. They thought I was going to win so they could beat up on me without consequence.
Right.
And they didn't really stand up against a lot of the ridiculous lies and accusations against me.
I think some of that is true. I mean, it's not the reason why she lost. She lost because she's a terrible candidate. And Americans knew she was corrupt. I mean, the Bernie people, they knew she was corrupt. They knew it. This stuff with the DNC, you know, coming out and they hijacked the DNC. No, they bought it. They bought and paid for it. And they bought and paid for all of the superdelegates. And that's what you guys set up. I mean, the superdelegates are set up. They were set up because of Ronald Reagan's win. They didn't want a usurper to come in and be able to sway. And so sway the American people. They don't trust the American people. So they put in these superdelegates. And if you don't have the superdelegates, you're not going to win. And the superdelegates are wined and dined by the establishment.
And they put that rule in because they saw what happened to the Republican Party with Ronald Reagan, where an outsider came in and just swept the nation up. And they were like, it cannot happen in the DNC. They put that in to stop people like Bernie Sanders. But then they made it worse. She went in and they, because Obama did exactly what we said he would do to the Democratic Party. He would bankrupt it. He took all, he destroyed that house. She came in and said, okay, we'll pay for everything, but you're going to do it my way. And they rigged the election. Now, it wasn't rigged in the votes.
Yeah.
But it was definitely the DNC, and you could see it. The DNC was for Hillary and not for Bernie.
And everyone thought Hillary was going to win, and everyone knows that Bernie was going to lose if he got into the general election. So I understand why all that happened. However, these complaints would be more legitimate if she didn't beat him by 4 million votes.
Yes.
She beat Bernie Sanders by 4 million votes. It was not a close competition. It was closer than it should have been by all rights, because Hillary Clinton should have been able to beat Bernie Sanders and knock him out after a few states. And the fact that it dragged on for a while made it mildly interesting.
Imagine if Hillary Clinton would have beat Donald Trump by 4 million votes, what they would be saying about Donald Trump supporters who are like, it's a rigged election. They would have just, Hillary Clinton would be on TV every day going, it's 4 million votes.
Basically, what happened with the popular vote. Right. I mean, because she won the popular vote. And what did they say? It's a rigged election. Right. Yeah. I mean, they wound up doing it anyway. I mean, there's no credibility.
Yeah, but she didn't
on either
win
side
by 4 million.
What was the total? I mean, it was,
I thought it was like a million.
No, I think it was more than that.
Was it?
I'll give you the number here in a minute. But, you know,
and by the way, the
2.9 million.
OK, 3 million votes.
Yeah.
And then they are. It's a rigged election.
Yeah, of course. And we played the clip on the chalkboard series, or is this one coming up? I can't remember. I've lost it all of her tapings. But the clip of her talking about how she wants the Electoral College dissolved.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't like the fact. She likes France, because France says, she joked with somebody over in France, you know. She had a joke, and they said, hey, you know what? Over in our country, whoever has the most votes wins, unlike you guys. And I want the Electoral College to be gone, because I won this most recent election in the popular vote that
The Electoral College has saved us time and time and time again. And the Electoral College allows the country to be able to stay together. It is a moderating force. It makes sure that the cities don't dominate the rest of the country. That's what it's for. It's critical. It's critical that it remains in place. But anyway, so she's going off there. And I'm looking at Elizabeth Warren, I'm looking at the Democrats going socialist. I'm looking at half of the population of millennials want to live in a socialist country. They don't even know what it means. All of the stuff going on with Facebook and Russia and now Donald Trump and that scandal, and everybody in Hollywood seems to be molesting little girls or little boys. I don't even recognize the country anymore. And then I heard this. You want to feel good? Somebody making sense. Nikki Haley on Cuba.
When the United States abstained on this resolution last year, its decision was explained by saying, quote, we recognize that the future of the island lies in the hands of the Cuban people. There is a casual cruelty to that remark for which I am profoundly sorry. The American people have spoken. They have chosen a new president, and he has chosen a new ambassador to the United Nations. As long as the Cuban people continue to be deprived of their human rights and fundamental freedoms, as long as the proceeds from trade with Cuba go to prop up the dictatorial regime responsible for denying those rights, the United States does not fear isolation in this chamber or anywhere else.
Doesn't that feel like the America you understand? Look, you guys are bad guys. You're denying human rights, basic human rights to people. We don't want anything to do with you. And we will always oppose you. That is the America I grew up in and I understand. I do not understand the country we're living in now. And I don't understand our priorities. at all.
Yeah, Nikki Haley has been great so far. And, you know, one thing you could say is if Cuba really wanted these relations to start, if they wanted the trade to continue, they probably shouldn't have attacked all of our representatives that went over there.
Do we know for sure that's who's responsible?
We don't know that it was the government, although we believe it's the government. But, I mean, it could theoretically, you could see it being some group that wants it to go back to the old way.
Such a big deal, and yeah. No one in the media is covering it.
Yeah, it really has been undercovered. I mean, so if you don't know, these, you know, they're attacking the hearing, essentially, of our representatives that have gone over there with, like, loud, inaudible sounds that have damaged their hearing and caused partial or I don't think complete deafness, but I mean major problems with hearing for these people who trying to serve the, you know, under the American banner. And if you wanted us to treat you better, maybe, I don't know, don't attack the people that come over there. Maybe that.
Nothing is more essential than protecting your home, but traditional home security can be expensive, but there is a better way. You know, I want to talk to you. I don't think we're going to have time today, but I've been thinking a lot with everything that is going on. We're at a place to where there are no secrets. You know, there are no secrets. I asked Stu today. This is kind of like in the scriptures where it says, you know, everything will be shouted from the mountaintops. There won't be any secrets. I mean, look at what's happening right now. If you have secrets, it's gone. If you are a country or a company that has been really kind of abusing your privilege, it's going to be over for you. And it's over for the home security industry. I really do. The people who have come over and have charged you $50 a month for security and locked you into a long-term contract and, you know, use this security system that they claim was so expensive and you had to pay for 3 years. It's not expensive. It's not expensive. Right now, SimpliSafe has a totally wireless security system, no long-term contracts. You're protected 24/7 at a cost of $15 a month. 15. Now, that's three times less than the other guys. And no hidden fees. Right now, if you go to SimpliSafeBeck.com, you get a special discount of 10% if you order on the website at SimpliSafeBeck.com. Go there and you get your 10% discount. Or if you need it tonight for some reason, you can go to Best Buy and pick it up there. But you'll save 10% at SimpliSafeBeck.com. Go there now, SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
This story about Kevin Spacey is getting really bad. CAA dropped him. That's a talent agency. I mean, in Hollywood, you're dropped by a talent agency. That's not good.
They're all in survival mode right now. Like, they're just trying to, they know a scandal's going to come to them at some point, and they're doing everything they can.
So the scandals have begun now in Washington. There are three reports.
Five.
Five. Five mm-hmm. reports. And I want you to hear about them.
Okay. Right. Number one, Mary Bono, former rep from California. Mm-hmm. She said she endured increasingly suggestive comments from a fellow lawmaker. Mm-hmm. But when the congressman approached her on the House floor and told her he had been thinking about her in the shower, she confronted the man who said still serves in Congress, telling him his comments were demeaning and wrong, and he backed off. Is that? I mean, honestly, I don't know.
Well, in high school now, I read a story yesterday in the Blaze. High school is now teaching that boys have to get consent every 10 minutes. So in the middle, you got to stop and go. By the way, can we proceed? Is this still okay with you?
Really, they don't know high school boys that well.
That's insane.
There is no second 10 minutes in that one. Just in case you were concerned, Barbara Boxer. Described an incident after in the 1980s where a male colleague made a sexually suggestive comment that he, quote, wanted to associate with the gentle lady. That is the quote. Boxer said the comment was met with general laughter. She later asked it to be removed from the record.
I mean, what is this, 1850?
I don't know.
Excuse me, the gentle lady from California. I would like to associate with the gentle lady. That is insane.
I mean,
who's offended by that? You would be like, that had to be somebody like Robert Byrd.
I guess.
I mean, who says I want to associate with the gentle lady? And who's offended by that?
I mean, that's not sexual harassment. Again, there could be more to these stories, maybe. I don't know. But saying you want to associate with the gentle lady is not sexual harassment or assault.
It's creepy old-time Civil War talk.
It's barely even that. Associate? I mean, it's barely even that. You have to read into it to get to the creepy old man thing.
No, I just think it's creepy because nobody says gentle lady. And nobody says I would like to associate with you.
That's a good point. Linda Sanchez, Democrat, California. When I was very new in Congress in the early 30s, there was a married, more senior member who outright propositioned me. She said she would warn other new female members about the lawmaker in question. He remains in Congress. Now, that again, like...
Okay, but
that's creepy. Is it sexual harassment to essentially ask someone to hook up or go on a date?
To associate.
To associate. I don't know.
I don't think that's sexual harassment. How do you ever go on a date?
Right. I mean,
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I would like to associate now with the gentleman from who's wearing the Astros jersey.
Why do you want to throw me down and have your way with me? Why? Why? Where does that come from? Sue, you heard it. You're sitting right there.
Wow. It was on the radio. Wow. Everyone heard it.
It is. This is amazing. Pat is joining us now in his Astros jersey, which is something that he had before they won.
Yes.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pat is only a bandwagon fan when he moves to a new city, not when they win. He'll stick with the team when they lose.
I've not adopted any of Dallas's teams.
Is that true?
That is true.
You like the Cowboys.
I mean, I like them okay, but I've always liked them okay. Ugh. They're just not a favorite.
They're awful people, all of them.
I don't think that's true.
That's true.
I don't think that's true. But anyway.
That's my position.
So finally, I think you asked this question the other day. When does this you know, burn down Congress?
Yeah, this is not going to burn down Congress.
Are you kidding me?
And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. You know and I know there is nasty stuff going on in Washington, D.C. There is nasty stuff. And if it would involve the binding of people in the basement of the Capitol and then choking them to death with whips, I would not be surprised. Mm. Okay, it's nasty in Washington from everything I've ever heard.
Well, it's worse than that. From these allegations are much worse. Yeah,
now here are the allegations.
Barbara Boxer won again.
I don't think I want to. If you have children, you may want to.
You can brush your teeth after you say it.
Okay. Barbara Boxer described an incident at a hearing in the 1980s where a male colleague made a sexually suggestive comment that he, quote,
this is bad,
quote, wanted to associate with the gentle lady, end quote.
Wow.
I don't even, I would have looked at him and said, I don't think I even understand what that means.
I don't think I understood it.
You know, I don't know what that means. And that's certainly not sexual harassment. If she said no, and then he said, well, then I'm going to disassociate myself with the gentle lady, then it's not sexual harassment.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I don't know what world we live in. I don't. Maybe the standards are different. You know, the word apartment is racist.
We went through a wormhole long ago.
Okay,
this looks like the universe we grew up in, but it is definitely not.
So these are the five that they have in Congress. Mary Bono said she endured increasingly suggestive comments from a fellow lawmaker.
Mm-hmm.
But when the congressman approached her on the House floor and told her he'd been thinking about her in the shower, she confronted the man who she said still serves in Congress, telling him the comments were demeaning and wrong, and he backed off. Now, I mean, that's...
okay, so no, wait.
That's
so,
what
so the word,
it's supposed to happen,
so,
right?
Yeah, right. So the right. word is, the word is, I endured. Well, if you would have said, hey... back off, dude. That's inappropriate.
From the beginning.
The first time, at least what we have here, as soon as she said, I'm not interested in that, he backed off.
Yeah.
If you let it go, somebody's going to take that as like, she kind of likes this. She's fine with that. Well, no, you have to tell them the first time, back off, dude. Not interested in that.
Yeah. And
if he backs off,
He backs off, then it's fine.
And if he doesn't, then he's doing something really wrong.
Then he's doing something wrong.
And again, like, I don't know. It's the details are important, increasingly suggestive, but it does seem like this is the worst incident, right?
Yes.
This is the one she's highlighting, where he said something that probably isn't appropriate, right? I mean,
probably.
To a coworker, right?
Have I ever said to you, I thought about you while I was in the shower today?
You just did.
And now, crap, we have it on tape now, too.
I mean, you know, but again, like, and there's a story that we have from the LA Times about how the idea that, and this is written by a woman who's saying, are we going too far in Weinsteining everybody? Saying like, look, you know, as a woman, everybody I've dated in my entire life, I've met at work. Do I want all contact, all flirting, all of this gone? And I'm not saying that, you know, look, you should be able, there are hints that need to be picked up. But there's a difference between
I want to associate with a gentle lady. And, hey, I was thinking about you while I was in the shower today.
That's creepy.
There's a difference. And there's a difference between, hey, I was thinking about you in the shower today. Hey, dude, that's creepy. Back off. Okay. And I'm taking the page in my car on the way to work, and I'm jamming my hands down his pants.
Right.
Like Kevin Spacey. There's a huge difference.
Yes.
Huge difference.
Yeah. And this is the world now. I mean, to try to deal with this stuff. Here's a couple of other ones. Linda Sanchez, Democrat, California. When I was a new member of Congress in the early 30s, there was a married, more senior member who outright propositioned me. She said she would warn other new female members about the lawmaker in question. He remains in Congress. Again, by those details, he asked her to hook up, right? And she said no. There's no indication of him hurting her career or him getting revenge. There's no indication of that.
No, in fact, there's indication that she hurt him by spreading this, around. And I really don't have a problem with that. Hey, this guy is immoral and he just hit on me. I don't have a problem with that.
No.
But he backed off.
At least according to these, you know, brief details that we have. Sanchez had another one. A different male colleague repeatedly ogled her and at one point touched her inappropriately on the house floor while trying to make it appear accidental. Now, look, I wasn't there for the incident.
Yeah, and what if it was accidental?
Right, what if it was?
Where did he touch her? And how did he touch her?
It says just inappropriately on the house floor. So again, that one could be really bad, right? I mean, if he actually did that, I mean, that's obviously
Absolutely nothing.
It could be, right? I mean, yeah. If she's wrong, but he, you know, again, repeatedly ogled her and then touched inappropriately on the house floor. And then finally, Hilda Solis.
Hang on just a second. The details matter because
big time, right?
Because he constantly ogled me. How many times have you thought somebody was looking at you or whatever, and it turns out they weren't? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the details matter here.
It does, right? And that's
a good example of that is, have you seen the way Megyn Kelly looks at me every day?
Oh, no.
She's telling you she's not interested because you should see how
she's looking at me every day.
And former Representative Hilda Solis from California, now a Los Angeles County Supervisor, quote, recalls repeated unwanted harassing overtures from one lawmaker, though she declined to name him or go into detail.
I mean,
so it's hard to know anything from that one.
Yeah, really hard. But I mean, look, if no means no,
absolutely.
No means no. And when you say no, that's when the line is crossed.
A couple of weeks ago, the Bob Weinstein situation came up where he, he's the brother of Harvey.
Yeah.
He's part owner of the company. And there was a production assistant or one of the directors or something that he had asked out to dinner. And she said no. And later on, he asked her to dinner again. And she said no. A lot of guys think that they're playing hard to get, right? And women do that. That is an interpersonal relationship game we play with each other.
We don't know. Guys don't have any idea. I'm telling you, women, if you believe men are as relevant to a fish with a bicycle, you're going to get that world soon because AI is coming. Mm-hmm. And no guy
is not going to take the chance.
You're not going to be willing to go out on the limb. You're not. You can't navigate when look. You look to the culture. Look at the culture. Look at the Kardashians. What message is that sending? Look at that. Look at how culture is, you know, building up
you know, strong women and women, you take control. So guys don't know what to do anymore. And you don't know if you say yes, but then you can say no afterwards, 3 days later, go, you know what? I think I was raped. No, I'm never going to talk to you again. I'm just not going to talk to women. I mean, it's insane.
And the New York Times wrote a story about how this is happening to a lot of women and that they're not getting the benefits of mentorship from older male coworkers because...
Would you?
Because the older male coworkers like, I can't even talk to you.
I wouldn't.
I'm afraid to be in the same room with you because I'm going to get accused of something.
Yep, I wouldn't.
So I would
make sure that there is always a secondary person in the room. Always. If I was mentoring a woman, I would not be alone with a woman.
And you should
room.
Maybe even record the whole thing. you have the evidence.
This is insane.
I mean, it's insane.
It's an
Think
insane
of that.
World.
Yeah.
Like,
Think
Roy,
of that.
Roy Price, former head of Amazon Studios. Remember this story? Lost his job over a single complaint of propositioning a female executive at a booze-soaked event in 2015. There is no suggestion even that Price tried to retaliate for the rejection. And he lost his job.
Wow.
I mean,
I heard a similar story from a guy on the air the other day. He said he asked a girl to dinner. She said no. He left her alone. He was called into HR the next day and fired. For asking a girl out?
That's how are you going to stop?
Crazy.
How many?
Crazy.
How many office romances have happened in this building? I mean, people have found their spouse in this
building.
Quite
a few, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... Are we going to, I mean, somebody comes to me and says, hey, they asked me out. Okay. Well, what did you say? Should I be excited? I said, no. Okay. Why are you here? Because I want you to do something about it. Why? Has he been hassling you before? Has he asked you over and over again and you keep saying no? How many times is that? I mean, I'll talk to him, but I'm going to fire him. I'm going to fire him? There's no policy against asking somebody out. This is nuts. Anyway, Pat, what's on your plate today?
Overpopulation. It's
glad we finally got
the population bomb. Prince William.
Oh, no.
Who is the...
Oh, no.
The Duke of Cambridge.
So you've been listening to Dad and Grandpa?
Sure has.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, sure has. He's worried that the world population has become perilous. And it's about to destroy not just people, but wildlife and rainforests as well. And I'm kind of sick about it. As he's expecting his third child, hey, Bill, maybe you might want to stop the House of Windsor line for a while because you're contributing to this. And then, of course, all 7.6 billion of us, as Stu's pointed out multiple times, could fit on the island of Maui. They could, all 7.6 billion of us could fit within the city limits of Los Angeles. Of course, the lines at Disney would be a little bit longer.
Really long.
You know, that.
Imagine In-N-Out in that scenario. You'd never get a burger.
Yeah, but think of Disney World. You'll be there all by yourself.
Mm.
Very true.
Yeah.
If you can make it to the other side of the
Well,
country.
Not only that, but you have to run the rides as well.
It's interesting, though, because I always wonder, do you think that God is surprised by the fact that we had children? He's the one who told us to.
Oh,
multiply and replenish the earth, but only until 2017. Then you need to stop. Because I haven't planned any further beyond that.
Seems like it was more like 1968.
Why don't you just scream Allah Akbar here, Mr. Religious? Thanks, Pat. Pat Gray, Unleashed.
Coming up in just moments, you can get the podcast, by the way, on iTunes, and it's on Stitcher and on the SoundCloud and all those places, as well as at Pat Unleashed on Twitter.
I want to ask you, is the world becoming more stable or less stable? I think any reasonable person would say less stable. Okay, so what does that mean? Is America more stable or less stable? When America becomes more stable, that will be good for us because as the world goes into chaos, people will need a place of refuge. Companies will need places of refuge. And we become, well, the America of the 1930s and 40s. But we are becoming more unstable. And I saw a stat from the Federal Reserve that they are now trying to get rid and sell the, I think it's $4.8
trillion dollars of assets that they have. These assets, they're all the crap that nobody wanted in 2008. $4 trillion. Are you kidding me? And that's what they say they're basing our money on. It's crap. Who has $4 trillion? The Fed. It's not going to last long. It's this fiat money thing. It doesn't work. Never in the history of the world has it ever worked. So things are going to change. And when they do, history returns to gold every single time. Well, it's different this time. No, it's not. Well, you got Bitcoin. Oh, really? You want to go ahead, bank on that. Literally bank on that. What happens if the power goes out? Where's your durable, easy to transport money? Gold is an insurance against calamity. Gold is, you know what the apocalypse actually means? What the Greek word apocalypse means? To reveal or uncover. I've been thinking about that a lot, you know, because in many ways we are living the apocalypse. Everything is being revealed. There are no secrets. There are no lies. Fiat money is a lie. Gold has intrinsic value. I want you to call Goldline now and find out if gold or silver is right for you. Do your own homework. Read their information to find out if it's right for you and your family. It is, as an insurance policy against a world gone mad, it is the best. And it's why I have 10% of everything that I have it in gold. Goldline, 1-866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
All right. Pick one. Earth's ozone hole shrivels to smallest size since 1988. Mm. Driver pulls gun after learning McDonald's was out of Egg McMuffins.
Oh, you've got me.
Forget your checked luggage. The airline now is going to start weighing passengers. Or archaeologists discover mysterious void deep within the Great Pyramid of Giza.
I know you want the pyramid, but I want the Egg McMuffin.
You bastard. Ohio police looking for a man who drew a gun Wednesday after being told by a McDonald's drive-thru worker that the store was out of Egg McMuffins. The incident happened at 3:30 in the morning. Police told the worker, police said the worker told them the driver called her a vulgar name and then pulled a gun on her, cursing at her before speeding away. It's kind of a disappointing story because you really had everything you needed to know just in the headline.
In the headline.
Driver pulls a gun on McDonald's worker because they were out of Egg McMuffin.
It's that movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Not many people do. It was not a huge success. However, there was that moment where he goes in at 11:01 a.m. and tries to order breakfast at the mm-hmm. place, and he pulls out the gun, and he's, you know, this is a terrible guy and does a lot of terrible things throughout the movie. But that moment, you really relate to him. Many times I've wanted to get violent after my McMuffin was missing. So many.
Glenn Beck.